Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our bracket rundown show.
Rocco's all dressed up. He's got his suit on.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We have...
I'm not wearing anything.
Matt Sikowski back with us for the first time in a little while. John Titel, Joby Fortson, Rocco Miller. Check him out at bracketeer.org. David Griggs. I think that's everybody. This is our bracket rundown show where we are going to attempt to build a bracket, or at least a seed list, live on the air. And David, what's a seed list, first of all, for everybody?
A seed list, and the short definition is that it's a ranking 1 through 68 of the 68 teams that the committee selects for the NCAA tournament. We're going to be building a seed list, like Chad said. The committee, when they select the teams and they seed the teams, it's two completely different processes. We're essentially combining that in the one process, and in doing so, doing it in a way that the committee doesn't really actually do it. But if we were to mimic that process, it would be about an 18-hour show.
Right. So, what we're going to do is I'm going to go around to each one of you and ask you for one seed line, which is a group of four teams. We're then going to have a little debate back and forth, a little bit more at the top lines, a little bit more towards the bubble. We're going to go a little bit quicker towards the middle to get the show down in a reasonable time. If I get convinced by everybody else that the original four picks were wrong, I'll make the picks, the changes. So I'm the ultimate arbiter.
I like it a lot better when it's just me and it's just my picks.
Well, but David, why don't you log off of the call and just go and do one on your own end?
Well, that would be, I mean, I am going to do that, and I encourage everybody watching this to just stop watching now and then just watch.
let's get going here. And what we're going to start with is top four lines, which are called the protected seeds. These are teams that are projected to be into the Sweet 16. And Matt, you haven't been with us for a while, so I'm going to give you the honors of starting us off tonight.
I never get to start.
And give us the top four, your top four teams in order.
Okay, I'm going. I definitely took some research on this. Mm-hmm. I have Duke 1, Virginia 2, Tennessee 3, Michigan State 4.
Okay,
thumbs up.
No.
All right. I just heard two thumbs up. Let me go to somebody who didn't give you a thumbs up, though. Titel, what do you think about his four picks here? Are you here, Titel? Did we lose John?
Oh, okay.
I guess we lost.
What a great show.
Rocco, how about you? We'll try to get the job back.
Well, Matt, you know, this is a really interesting week to go through the exercise because I think there are six teams worthy of a one seed right now. And Duke, of course, the strength of their victories, the margin of those victories, I think are unprecedented against the other five teams. But teams like Michigan State have the eight wins against the group of one. Tennessee, only blemish, you know, is a tight one against Kansas, another possible one seed. Virginia only loss is a 2-point loss on the road in Cameron. So I can see where you're slotting them just behind Duke. And then, you know, so I think there's a lot of different ways you can slice this. I think right now, I think the fairest way to do it is just the fact that Virginia's only lost one game by 2 points. Michigan lost one game, but it was a road game at a very tough Wisconsin team, but they've been impressive throughout the year and proven themselves on the road. And then Tennessee and Duke, those are my four number ones. So Virginia, Michigan, Tennessee, and Duke.
I want to throw another team out there.
So the debate is going to be Michigan versus Michigan State, but I just want to quickly note that there are some numbers showing up on the screen here. The first column is the new NCAA NET ratings. Mm-hmm. Second column is Ken Pomeroy's ratings. Third is team strength of schedule. That's how strong a schedule they played. And Joby, fourth column is your ratings, the JNG ratings. For those not familiar, can you give a quick 3-second?
The entire point of JNG is it tries to take into account how the NCAA tournament committee looks at the actual team sheets that are given to them, and the data that is there is what produces the ratings in an algorithmic fashion to try to mimic and guess what the actual committee will do in March.
Okay.
And let's go back to
that. And as a note, it is the KPI and I have been the most accurate out of all 100 computer programs over the last 3 years, and I am the top one. Last year, I got all but three on the regression analysis version, all but three within one seat. I did miss two teams in the field, but what, getting in the field, but three within the field were all within the correct seed.
Yeah. Matt, I want to throw it back to you. Rocco mentioned Michigan over Michigan State here. You got a Michigan State team with a ton of quadrant one wins and a Michigan team with four of them. So you want to take up that question?
Well, and now that's just, I love what Michigan State's done away from, specifically away from home on the road. Today at Iowa, a pretty decent Iowa team, including very nice win against Nebraska on the road. And that they've been so good away from home and just dominating a good Big Ten by ridiculous margins. I said, I saw John Gassaway's tweet earlier. They're currently almost a quarter of a point per possession better in what I think is clearly the best league this year. And then like a tenth of a point per possession better than any other team in the league, which Michigan at number two.
And a very impressive eight wins away from home as well. But David would rather instead of Michigan State or Michigan being there, David, I got to give you 3 seconds. You'd rather have a Gonzaga team with one notable win on the entire year. That's it.
Well, yeah. Well, they hit the check marks that I look for.
One win. One win, David.
Yeah, they have a win against away from home against a protected seed, and they've avoided losses to non-protected seeds. Michigan State has.
Okay, so let's put Syracuse up there then.
Well, no, because Syracuse has not avoided losses to non-protected seeds. They've done half those things, but not both of them. Michigan State's if Michigan State wins out and sweeps Michigan, then you almost have to put them up there. But for now, they've beaten Purdue at home. Purdue, not the best road team. Maryland, not the best road team. Nebraska is not – well, I mean, okay, beating Nebraska is like beating the Lakers. Yeah, I have to give you that. But, I mean, I don't think winning at Nebraska is as good as winning against Duke on a neutral court. And avoided losses to – well, I mean, Michigan.
Louisville's going to be close. I don't know if they'll be a protected seed, but Louisville's close-ish.
You know? I have them as a
protected seed. No, I think Louisville is a protected seed. Yeah. But right. It's just Michigan State does not have the win away from home against a protected seed. In a one seed, almost all – last year's Xavier team was the first team in forever that got a one that didn't have that.
David, quite honestly, what you have on Gonzaga's profile is the same number of wins over there in tier four that Michigan State has over up here in tier one.
Okay, let's look at that a little bit.
Ohio State and a ton of them are on the road team. Now, I understand they are against the bottom of the
Penn
tier
State
one.
Is not even in the NIT right now. I mean, can we look at
no,
it?
No, NIT doesn't start to launch, David.
Like, Penn State's bad. Ohio State hasn't won this year.
Rocco, can I bring you back in here on this? Is there any reason for Gonzaga to be a one seed right
yes,
now?
Yes, I said they should be. That's reason enough. Rocco. Put them up there, Chad.
No, I don't think so. And I mean, I'm very impressed with Michigan State. I'm not trying to knock them whatsoever. I think a lot of people like to look at all the wins, which I think is more than fair to do because they're going out and proving it, which is Michigan State and Kansas so far. They have that large quantity. They've proven it time and time again. And that probably is a better way to hang your hat on. I just think teams like Michigan and Virginia – have been so impressive in the fewer opportunities that they've had that I'm banking on them staying there. But you could slice it either way, and I'm fine with that.
All right, I'm gonna leave that line completely alone. And
God, you're oh no.
And Joby, I'm gonna go to you for line number two here.
I think three teams are very obvious here. The Michigan team that Rocco mentioned would be my next. I know that the Azubuike injury is really affecting with the West Virginia loss, but I want to see one more bad loss. Kansas is just so impressive otherwise. I'm still on that Kansas train. I might be late getting off it, but I'm still there because it's ridiculous. Beating a one, beating a two, beating a three, beating a four, now beating a five with Nova ever going up, and then Gonzaga obviously being the other. The last one is the tough one. I am going to make Blue Nation really excited and go Kentucky.
Holy crap.
David, since you decided to jump in there, let me let you be the first to respond.
Well, there's only one problem with that line. It's that you need to swap Gonzaga and Michigan State. But other than that, it's perfect.
Okay. Well, David likes it. Well, Matt, what about you? Do you like that line?
Yeah, that's exactly the one I had. And I had Kentucky over North Carolina. It was my debate for the final two seed. I think it was those two going for it with, I think, clear delineation where I have – my next few teams. And that, but no, I could tell, I mean, the head-to-head, I love Kentucky. Not only that, the win at Auburn. And then he was still, I mean, they've, we'll debate them. I've got them in the field, probably. I probably have the mixed of where people have them higher, people low, but they're still a solid tournament team, I think.
I think you got, I think you pretty much covered it there, Matt. Some people have them higher, some people have them lower.
one more opinion on this line, Rocco. Is there any reason to have that for Carolina to go over Kentucky or somebody else to go over Kentucky in that last spot?
I agree with everybody here. I think Kentucky just slightly deserves that last spot. And you know, on Saturday we'll get a chance to see Kansas play Kentucky in Rupp, and that will just be an opportunity for them to solidify that last two seed. But I don't think anybody could argue the top seven. I think we can all have a lot of different orders of that top seven, but I have yet to see really anybody besides our group and others out there that do this regularly that disagree with this top seven. I think that's our first tier, and then tier two starts with number eight.
Right, and well, Kentucky, in my opinion, it's I agree that they're there, but I think that they've done a little more to earn it than, I mean, they beat North Carolina away from home. It was a neutral court. They won at Louisville. So a lot of the teams that get thrown out there for that last spot, Kentucky has beaten them.
Well, let's on that note, David, let me go over to Rocco here for the three seeds, because I think that we've got amazingly a consensus on the two lines. So let's just keep rolling along.
Great show.
I think yeah,
we need a little more fight here, guys. Come on.
Well, we don't have consensus on the two line because Gonzaga belongs on the one. So David, go ahead.
Did you mean to put you off the show, David? Come on.
Not again.
I think the three line is going to be very debatable no matter which four teams I throw out there. I do think North Carolina clearly would be that first team. Before the Monday night game, I had Maryland in the next spot, and I don't think losing to Michigan State on the road is too big of a black eye. So let's go ahead and stick with Maryland. After that, I'll go with Marquette, and then from there, I think it's a huge toss up, and I'll go through the exercise later this week. But I think the toss up would be between Villanova, Houston, Texas Tech, and Louisville. I think any of those four, you could make an argument to get the last three seed.
So which one are you going with? Give me a team.
I guess I'll go with, I guess I'll go with Villanova because I think they're playing the best and they're getting road wins.
All right. Two Big East teams up. Matt, I got to bring you in here because you mentioned your team ended and one of your team's
I have Nova on my four line. I thought I might be the highest on them in this group.
Right, they might not be winning, there. But yeah.
So, right. Furman and Penn. Let's not forget.
I will say, like, luckily as a Big East, they are playing great basketball. Right, I mean, winning like Butler, I still have Butler at the back end of my field. And Creighton's a team that I think's a little bit better than their performance, like their record has shown, and that they won so solidly in both of those road tests. I'm impressed with Nova, but not quite yet the three line. I would have Louisville over them on the three line.
You'd have Louisville up here. I think we have John Tytel back. John, if you are back, we're looking at the three line where the teams are Carolina, Maryland, Marquette, and Villanova. Do you have any comments on them?
John, tell them how wrong they are, please.
I cannot tell Matt how wrong he is because if you look at Louisville's metrics versus Villanova's, I think the edge has to go to the Cardinals.
Okay, so you would agree with Matt to put Louisville in there, jump Villanova out.
I want to look at some other teams.
Okay, David, because you won't keep talking, who are the teams that you would look at?
Well, Maryland and Marquette just haven't done quite enough on the road. Like, if you look at Kansas State and Iowa State, I think they've outperformed both of them. Like, neither one of them really has what you could – anything resembling a bad loss, whereas Nova has at least one and arguably two. And Kansas State has beaten three ranked teams in a row, two of them on the road. In two of those, and in both the cases of those road wins, they're the only team that's won there. I just don't think Maryland has anything that's that strong.
So you'd have Kansas State in over Maryland?
Yes, I would have Kansas State and Iowa State in over Maryland.
Okay.
And I actually agree that Louisville belongs up there, even though Marquette did beat them.
Well, Rocco, this was your line. What are your thoughts of Kansas State or Iowa State in over Maryland?
No.
Okay. No. Well, what about this Kansas City?
Haven't done anything. Nebraska sucks on the road. Ohio State might – it's getting to the point to where they suck at home. I mean, like, when you look at what K-State's done, it kind of blows it away, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I get from the win perspective, I break it down into three columns. So I look at, first thing I look at is what have you done away from home? And Kansas State and Maryland have both done a considerable amount compared to some of the other teams out there, right? So that we'll call that a wash. And then you look at what have they done that is a black eye? And I think Kansas State has certainly done more that's a black eye, losing to Tulsa and Texas by 20.
Tulsa has one home loss.
They have one home loss, but they're not a tournament team, and they're barely a top 100 team. And Texas,
they're coached by Frank Haith.
Well, okay, they are coached by Frank Haith. I can't argue against that. Yes,
and losing to a bubble team at home by 20, even if you have some injuries or not, is you know, you have to treat it all the same unless you have Bonzi Colson. And then, of course, if you have Bonzi Colson, you might get in. So.
Well, a decision needs to be made here, and I am going to agree that Louisville belongs to this line. I'm going to bounce them for that Villanova pick. I think Villanova is close, but not quite on the three line at this point. David, I am liking this Kansas State team a lot, but I think you are way overvaluing losing a game at Tulsa as being a good loss. It is not a good loss.
I'm not saying it's a good loss. I'm saying it's not nearly as – I mean –
I know what you're saying, David. And Tulsa is not a good team, so don't tell me that they don't have any bad losses. That's all I'm saying.
They're 10-1 at home.
Tytel, yeah, I think you're back, and why don't I let you take the four line instead of David because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
You better before my computer craps out again. K-State, I think, is in
this
the.
Why computer. It's a better show if it's just me.
K-State is in the conversation here. With Dean Wade, they're undefeated. This is one of those situations where I think the committee will realize, assuming he's still
– Dean Wade played in the Marquette game, Jad. Dean Wade played in the Marquette game.
If you say so.
Joey Hauser actually did a great job shutting him down, but no, Dean Wade was in the Marquette game.
Fair enough. I still want him at number four. I like the Cyclones here. Actually, I'm a little lower, but they've been playing well. Since Buffalo did not do too well the other night, we need to start getting rid of some of those former one-loss teams. We still have one in Houston, and we still have another one, I believe, in Nevada that deserves some consideration here, especially because it seems like everybody's down on some of the other teams like a Virginia Tech or like a Oklahoma.
So you would not have Villanova in on the four line then?
Sorry. I thought we put them. I forgot that we took them on.
Yeah, we did take them.
I put them in over Nevada based solely on strength of schedule, I guess.
Okay. So let's hold off on Nevada. We'll put Villanova in. And, Joby, let me go to you first for any comments on these four teams.
Kansas State and Iowa State are right on the edge here. I personally, Nevada really likes to play with fire, not against Colorado State last night, but against Boise. Until they lose again, and they do have the raw talent. They now do have a tournament win. We will find out, I think, at the end of the day, now that Arizona State has righted the ship. I would go with Nevada over one of those two Big 12 schools, but it's a hair. I don't have a big fight against it. Nova, though, I do think Nova and Houston are in. I mean, Houston right now is – I mean, they'll get tested when they have the Cincinnati's of the world and that sort of thing. But Houston does, I think, with the LSU win and a gaudy record right now, I think we got to talk protected seed because I know that Tytel will have to defend that. Houston over Nevada, and Nevada and the two Big 12 teams fight it out for two spots.
Well, David, I've already heard your thoughts on Kansas State. Matt, let me bring you on this Nevada versus Kansas State. It's interesting because you're comparing a team that's almost perfect, although the loss was very, very bad, versus a team with four losses but a lot of good wins that Nevada doesn't have.
Yeah, I got K-State a long ways ahead of Nevada. Like, I have Nevada on my sixth line. I don't think, like, their profile isn't great. They're not great in the metrics. They're mixed on the eye test. Like, I think, personally, going into the year, everyone thought Nevada was a top 10 team. They haven't played like one. And, like, under any, I think, like, eye test, objective metrics, any basically formula to rate them wins. Yeah, Arizona State over that may or may not be in the field.
Matt, just as a note, when you're talking about the most important metric, though, that at least the committee will be looking at, they're 12 spots ahead of Iowa State.
Well, so let's look at Iowa State instead of Kansas State.
Sorry, then. Kansas State.
Well, let's go to – I want to go to Iowa State because you're not going to convince me that Kansas State needs to be off of this line. But, Rocco, what about this Nevada versus Iowa State argument?
It's a good one. It's a good one. I think they're very close. I still have Nevada just one spot above Iowa State. But I really don't have a convincing reason for it except for the fact that Nevada's only lost the one time. I put a big priority on how many times you've lost, who you've lost to. And, of course, Nevada's done that only one time, and it was a horrible one. But it will only happen once. And every other time they've been out there, despite how strong the schedule has been, they've performed and gotten the job done. And they have that historical, you know, story going for them after what they proved last year in the tournament. So I just slightly still have Nevada above Iowa State, but you could probably convince me otherwise.
Yeah, I'm not hearing great arguments to bump Nevada up here, and so I think we're going to leave it all alone as it is. And move on to the five line. We do have Nevada left.
Can we look at one more team?
I can give you the next line, David. So why don't you tell me the next four teams? How's that?
Well, okay, let me see. Let me get my notes in order here. One of the teams I really like that we haven't brought out yet, I actually like them more than Nevada, is Iowa. Because they're kind of quiet when you watch them, but when you look at their profile, it's really good. Not an impressive profile, but I still like their team. Texas Tech is who I had up here. And then we're kind of entering a chasm.
Do you not have Nevada up here?
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
I do have Buffalo, and I know that they just lost. And I know that their profile, other than being bloated out with wins, is a little flimsy.
Okay, so you like a two-loss MAC team over a one-loss Mountain West team, okay?
And yeah, the MAC is better league this year.
I think it is. and I think Northern Illinois is better than New Mexico, or not as bad. Let me rephrase.
Okay,
Northern Illinois is not as bad as New Mexico.
And one more team then
I have up here, and this is high, but it's LSU.
Yeah. All right, Joby, what about that? What about having Iowa, Texas Tech, Nevada, Buffalo, LSU, and still no Nevada?
I actually the other five, the power five teams or power six, however you want to phrase it. Teams he mentioned would be the ones I'd pull. Actually, I like the LSU call. I like the Texas Tech and Iowa calls here. The ones I don't like is I do believe Nevada, it's time. Buffalo's lost to Northern Illinois. You know, just doesn't do it. In Buffalo, yeah, they have the nice win against Syracuse. And, you know, Nevada has the win over Arizona State. There's a little bit of a push here in that Nevada gets – oh, and Nevada beat Frank Hayes on a neutral court. You know, which Kansas State couldn't do.
They couldn't beat them on a neutral court.
They didn't beat Frank Haith.
Virginia has not beaten Frank Haith on a neutral court.
K-State didn't either.
let me throw this over here.
I think Nevada is the call over Buffalo. Not that Buffalo needs to be shoved way down. It's just a tight call. Nevada, one loss, two loss. Right now, I'm there.
Yeah, and what I look at here is, and while I know they're not exactly tournament wins, the top two quadrants, you have 8 wins for Nevada, only 4 for Buffalo. And I agree, though. I mean, the win at Syracuse is better than anything Nevada has done. The loss at New Mexico is worse than anything that Buffalo has done. So it's
I guess part of me, going past the profile, because I think they're actually kind of similar – I don't know why, but I'm just not blown away by Nevada. And I know that they won huge last night, but they don't always – not that Buffalo always does either, but they don't always
– they're both playing the same type of garbage, and they've both had close wins and close and bad losses. So, David, at the end of the day, I think one loss is better than two losses.
Yeah, but their one loss was to a worse team than any of the teams that I think Buffalo lost to. I agree that it's twice as many, but
that's a lot.
I'm not going to argue too much about it because I think that a case could be made either way. But I thought the team that Nevada lost to was worse, and they lost by slightly more.
All right. Well, let's keep things rolling here. And, Matt, I'm going to circle back around to you for the sixth line.
Yeah, I definitely have Buffalo there.
Right.
A team I'm a little surprised because they're so high in the metrics, I think their profile started to catch up to it now is Purdue.
I agree. I love that pick, actually. Go ahead.
And then I think this is time. This is another weird one because their profile and their metrics are divergent, is Uncle Buzz. And then the other one, another Big Ten team I got to mention is the unfortunate one, Red Medicine Madison.
Wow. Your line is identical even in order than of what I would have put now.
Joe, you agree with me, but Tytel, let me go to you here. What about these four picks? Is this the right time for these four teams?
I think so. I had maybe one or two down at seven line. I think we should throw, if you're needing some under consideration teams, maybe Oklahoma and Auburn, but both of them have been trending horribly in the wrong direction. So yep. I can't in good conscience say that either of those two belong above any of these four.
Hey, look at the NET ratings. They're worse than any of these four by a lot in terms of Purdue and Wisconsin.
I agree that we need to look at Oklahoma. I actually had Oklahoma ahead of Virginia Tech, but they are kind of going in the wrong direction. I disagree on Auburn because I don't think they're going in the wrong direction. I think they've been in the wrong place all year long.
They lost to Kentucky by this much, buddy. Come on.
At home.
I know. It's a good team.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put up Oklahoma versus Virginia Tech here just for a second. And this is a Oklahoma team that did bounce back with a win at Oklahoma State, though, so not a very impressive win. But they do have four quadrant ones versus two. But Rocco, well, what do you think on this debate here, Vatek, Oklahoma?
Well, I love what Matt put together here. I just think the X factor is actually Buffalo in this equation, and it's hard to see a team like this, which plays in the MAC and doesn't get the opportunities. And, you know, it's really they're basing their resume on not a concrete foundation whatsoever. So I actually have Oklahoma in this slot over Buffalo, but I agree with Virginia Tech.
Okay. I'm kind of liking this line, actually. And so, Rocker, what I'm going to do is I know you like Oklahoma, but I'll let you take the seven line. How's that?
Yeah, well, and technically, I love Buffalo more than any of these teams, but I'm just being realistic about the situation.
Okay.
I just think, you know, Oklahoma's got a little bit more proof in the pudding.
All right. Oklahoma, why don't you give me three more beyond them?
Okay. Well, let's go to we're getting into some messy teams now. Yeah. Let's go to NC State, Florida State, and Indiana. Probably like the messiest three teams I've
seen. Well, I think one of the things we got to do is say welcome to the seven line because this is junk time between the seven and the ten lines. Joby, let you start with any comments.
Honest, I'm the ACC homer here is picking on an ACC team. It's not the Seminoles. I'm picking on NC State after losing to Louisville tonight. It's starting to rack up. They haven't collected a ton of win. I think they only have one win against the field right now. They're good. Their positives were the gaudy record, and it's not coming through fully. It's not coming through fully in conference play.
Is that
they need a team that really plummets out.
That's not NC State. Oh, there it is. Okay, never mind.
I'd instead look to one of the Mississippi schools, and it's like throwing.
Which one?
That's the point. I'd probably go Mississippi State. I mean, I'm like.
Well, how about the team that beat them?
Yeah, I mean.
I know Mississippi.
How about the team from Mississippi that beat them?
I know. It's just, but, you know, I'm fine if that's the way.
They just got destroyed.
Yeah. Well, Matt, how about that? Ole Miss versus NC State in that debate. Yeah.
Head to head. You're right.
I had them both in this range, but I did have Ole Miss a couple of spots higher. Yeah. Two teams I'm surprised weren't mentioned in May. Like, I am becoming Kyle Lamb surrogate here. Is Iowa and Nebraska?
Oh,
I was a five.
I was already on the five.
Oops, okay. Sorry about that. Yep. I would say that Nebraska just won at Indiana not that long ago.
And they just lost at Rutgers.
Who hasn't?
Yeah.
Well, Rutgers beats everybody. I think that's a good mark on the Nebraska profile. But
okay, I got
to
be
– my marker of Kane, for instance, stays losing to a team that we have as a three seed. Yeah.
can we see Florida State next to NC State? Because I got to be honest, I kind of hate both of them.
I agree with you that I hate both of them. And on the other hand, I hate everybody in this range at this point. So on that note, though, Florida State, I think, has done a little bit more with an LSU win and the Purdue wins. Those are two teams that are already in this field, David.
I'm looking at like Minnesota, the Johnny, Syracuse, Baylor. I mean, I think that there's teams that are better than both and that have done more than both.
Johnny's haven't.
Not at all, St. John's.
And Tytel FC
got their doors blown out by a team that makes New Mexico look good.
Right.
Well, they have some issues.
Okay. At the end of the day, I think it is NC State, although they are dealing with an injury, correct, Tytel?
Yes, I believe Markell Johnson's still hurting. Last I checked, they didn't even have word when he was going to come back. So
NC State's credentials are horrible.
Well, NC State's coming off of this line. Ole Miss is going in their place. I think it was too early for Nebraska. And I think at this point, Joby, I think you're going to be up next.
Oh, okay. I guess I'll throw the other Mississippi school out there.
Okay, so Mississippi State. Yeah.
I knew that was going to happen. Then it gets really tough. Okay. We've already had Auburn mentioned. Let's get Auburn off the table. I know. It's ugly. Regardless of who you choose, it's going to be ugly. Auburn, I'm going to reach down, and because of what they've done lately in beating Kentucky, I'm going to stick in the SEC and go Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah, I know they have a three. I know that's tough three for you to losses. Type in. I know, but they're getting the wins at least. I know that'll be what we talk about in a negative fashion, and rightfully so. And I'll give David his Minnesota pick, actually, even though, once again, there's an ugly loss.
There's ugly losses, but yeah, like
– But it's – the warts are going to be on everybody, so.
Indiana has done almost nothing away from home, and they've lost five in a row. I mean, I just don't see – I don't see what a lot of you are seeing in some of these teams. And I know that, like, some others are schizophrenic, but at least they've done some things.
Let me start by – I have Alabama and Minnesota up on the screen here. And, Tytel, let me start with you. Do either of these teams belong in the consideration at this point, or maybe even – do they even belong in the field?
I mean, Minnesota belonged for like 39 minutes and 55 seconds, unfortunately, the other night. David makes a good point. Like, three tier three losses is pretty atrocious for Bama. I said it before, like, any other year you beat Arizona and Wichita State, you're in the tourney. This happens to be the year that it means very little because both those guys are – McDermott and Miller are having very off years.
So who would you – is there two teams you'd have instead of these two?
We have Grand Uncle Tim Miles yet. I mean, we got Uncle Buzz in there. Let's get the whole family, right?
Okay, you'd rather have Nebraska up there instead of which one?
Instead of Alabama, three tier three losses is pretty bad.
All right, I might be able to be convinced to keep Minnesota on this line, but Joby, what about this? What about Nebraska instead of Alabama?
I just feel like Nebraska hasn't done enough positive. You say, okay. Oh, only two tier wins and one's Liberty, but look down into the content of what it is. And, you know, Ole Miss, Murray State, you know, though they are losing as we speak, you know, Murray State, Arizona is right on the edge, and the other ones are solid, you know, solid wins. I like Alabama a little bit more, the tier one losses. You know, they got those three losses, but, you know, Rutgers makes up a lot, and don't tell me that Georgia State loses to Rutgers on a neutral court.
Okay, I've got two.
Seriously. Yeah.
I think Rutgers could beat Georgia State on a neutral
court. Could. Thank you, Rutgers alum. Could.
let me go to Rocco here, though. Rocco, yeah, I want your thoughts on this debate. Are we way too soon on Alabama?
I feel like we are still because, yes. I mean, they were a team, you know, just a week ago that were out of the field or maybe barely in, depending on where you were at. And, you know, yeah, that win over Ole Miss was a real nice win, very nice margin of victory. But overall, the body of work for Nebraska, being able to go on the road to Bloomington and on the road to Clemson, getting those two road wins is better than anything Alabama's been able to do away from home. And of course, you go into the loss column, and and nothing is as ugly for Nebraska as it is for Alabama. So I think that makes it a pretty easy decision.
Okay, I think we put Nebraska in.
There is one team I overlooked that I probably should have after.
I think there's a team that we're all overlooking.
Well, let's take 1% time.
But I should have said Syracuse in the midst of all this.
Okay, that's one.
I'm serious when I said
we're on the 8 and the 9 line. At the end of the day, is an 8 seed versus a 9 seed is not that big of a difference. So I will put Syracuse under consideration, but Tytel, why don't I go to you for the next four teams?
As we hold our collective noses, I think we need to get a team from the American in here. I don't think we need two of them. So I think it's a coin flip between Cincinnati and UCF, and I will go with Cincy, but again, holding the nose the way. I think that we can get Syracuse on this line. I don't know how much weight the committee will give to the Syracuse win over Duke with all the injuries for Duke, but a win is a win on some level. I think we need to get a Big East team in here. Hard to say between St. John's and Seton Hall. I think that's a coin flip as well, as the fact that one of them has not been swept by DePaul this season. I will go with St. John's over Seton Hall. And then for my fourth, I guess we can put NC State in here. I don't know what the record is for the worst strength of schedule by any team to make the tournament and or a top 10 seed or whatever, but like we're in uncharted waters here, I fear.
Yeah, Matt, I'd like your comments on this because, again, we've got a little Big East mentioned here, a current and former Big East mentioned here.
Yeah, no, I think I like Cincy, I like Cuse, I like NC State here. Despite this DePaul sweep, I still like the top end of Hall winning at Maryland, beating Kentucky on a neutral. That's where, if we're going with a Big East team, I'd go Hall. Another one, if we're going into schizo teams, is I'm also going to be shouting out another friend of the program here, Mr. Scott Schwartz's Texas Longhorns, who've been across the map. Good Lord, they've got good, they've got bad. But I feel like that's kind of like where an 8-9 team, they fit like the 8-9 team almost like a glove of.
Well, all these teams are better than Auburn, even though Auburn's already in.
Well, David,
we're still missing.
First of all, there's Seton Hall and St. John's right there. The only reason why St. John's, of course, hasn't been swept by DePaul is that they haven't played them the second time yet.
Correct. I've got another team that hasn't been swept by DePaul.
Okay, go ahead,
and David, that is going to, I think, blast Alabama this weekend. And I know that they got off to a slow start, but they were injury prone. They are really trucking now. Pull up Baylor and just look at them. They're way better than, like, I think most people realize.
And this is a great team to bring up here.
And I like them better than some of the teams that we've already put in, and one in particular.
Okay, well,
look at that.
Rocco, what about this idea of a Baylor team that had two very bad home losses but is playing really good basketball right now over a team like St. John's or Seton Hall on this line?
Makes sense historically, I guess. Well, I guess either St. John's or Baylor would have to, just because typically when you're in the 200s and above in non-conference straight to schedule rating, you're either on the 9 line and up, or if you fall between 10 and the bubble, you usually end up in the NIT. And so, you know, if they're in, they're going to be firmly in, just going off of what the committee's done over the last decade or so. Of course, the wins are great. I try to give it a balanced approach, like I said before, which puts them much more firmly on the bubble for me. So I personally am not ready to put Baylor in, but I think if we are going to agree they're a tournament team at some point, I don't mind shooting them up to the 9 line.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave this line alone. I think Baylor is right there, David. I do agree with you. I just couldn't quite put them over those teams, but I think they should be the top team on the TED line, especially because, David, I'm going to go to you for the TED line.
Okay, hold on. Let me get my notes here. Cincinnati, so, Syracuse, Johnny's.
So Baylor starts off the TED line, obviously.
Okay. So Baylor, and is Seton Hall in yet?
No.
Okay. I always get – Minnie's in. So I've got Baylor, Seton Hall. Did we put Alabama in yet?
Nope.
Okay, yeah. I've got them. And is Texas in yet?
Nope.
Okay.
All right. Tytel, what about those four teams at this point?
Alabama's metrics, despite my eye tests, they're better than what I'm seeing, but let's put them in there for that. Baylor's got two Tier 4 losses to a couple of teams outside the top 200 in the net rankings. With all due respect to Rocco, like, I see his point, and they do have a lot of Tier 1 wins, and it's no shame to lose by 5 points to a great Kansas team, and on the other single-digit Tier 1 losses. I'm just not seeing it yet, but if they get healthy, although Tristan Clark is not getting healthy anytime soon, maybe. As far as the fourth team, I forget who David's fourth was.
That would have been Texas.
The strength of schedule is pretty good. Yeah, I mean, I don't have them the tie, but let's do it.
All right, let's let me get one more comment. Matt, how about you? What about, is there anybody that David missed on this line here with these four teams?
Nothing, Boiley. I'm starting to think of TCU at this range, but it's not like
that's gonna be a tough sell.
TCU beat both Big 12 teams that are sitting on this line.
They did at home.
Yeah, but they beat them. I mean,
what's the at-large? What's the at-large count?
Okay, we'll get there in 1 second. I just want to put TCU's profile up. With the lack of tier one wins versus four.
Lipscomb's not bad. So that's not.
It's the lack of quality wins for TCU that gives me so much pause with them. But we still have 5 at-large spots left. Notably, we have not yet put a Pac-12 team in. But we do need 4 more teams. I guess, Matt, why don't I go back to you for the next 4 teams?
Okay, so I have TCU here.
Okay.
I will have Washington here, and I'm assuming kind of as them as the auto bid.
Right.
And then I'm going to make David happy. I'm going to have Wofford and Lipscomb.
I had – whoa, Lipscomb.
Okay, so we don't actually – you only get rid of one of our at-large bids, but Rocco, he brought up Washington. They're your school. Let me let you comment on this line here.
Yeah, I think Washington, if they are the auto bid, should be in the top 11 seeds. Unfortunately, there's a lot of stress going on right now.
Yeah, they're struggling right now. We are recording this at about 10:50 p.m. So
we got a tie game, guys. Okay, so.
Oh, I bet this 3 goes in. Oh, it's tied. Yeah,
good timing, Chad. Okay, so Washington's back in and feeling great with a tie game here. Yeah, I like the way the team's playing. I've commented on it a couple times. I agree that there's no real meat on the bone in terms of beating another tournament caliber team. I do think there should be some credit given for winning the mountain trip for a sweep against Utah and Colorado. I think that's very difficult to do. You can look through history and see how many teams would be able to do that, especially a bubble-type team like Washington is. So anyway, I think especially when you start comparing them to teams like, Arizona and others, it starts to stand out a little bit since there's just no bad losses. I'll be okay with that. And I like the Wofford choice, Matt. I really like the Wofford choice here. I would probably put Cincinnati above Lipscomb.
Cincinnati in.
Actually, the one I look over my list, I would actually have Ohio State over Lipscomb.
Okay.
Yeah. That's debatable too, because Ohio State's on such a bad run right now.
Indiana, yet they're on the 7 line somehow.
Yeah. Okay. Tytel, what about that? What about putting Ohio State in instead of one of these Wofford Lipscomb teams?
I mean, look at that. All 4 metrics are in the top 50, which not a lot of teams in this 11 line can say. I think it'd be weird, like, if the committee says, Pac-12, we've given you, like, 10,000 chances this year, and frankly, you're just not that darn good, so shame on you. We're going to put in all these little teams. We're going to throw in Murray State. We're going to throw in VCU.
We're going to throw out Murray State.
Murray State's throwing.
Yeah, I had them in this range, too, before tonight.
Okay, well, I kind of like the idea of jumping Ohio State here over Lipscomb because I just think that that's kind of what would end up happening. But I do think Lipscomb is might be right here at the top of the 12 line.
Yeah.
That said, let me go. Let's just go 2 teams right now for the next 2 teams because we're down very near the end. Of Joby, let me get your next 2.
I'll pull from the board and go. I don't have Lipscomb here, even though they beat the TC I was promoting. UCF. I think this is the time for UCF. The other one is I know that Matt is assuming the auto bid with Washington, but I actually think Arizona State – sorry, Tytel. I think Arizona State actually is a legitimate at-large candidate here, win, lose, or draw in the Pac-12 as champion, because I think they've righted the ship, and they do have that nice Kansas.
I got to ask you, Tytel, does Arizona State belong in the field?
Nobody loves that Kansas win more than I hate that Princeton loss, apparently, because I really hate that Princeton loss, as I know, because I was there. No, you can make the argument. Like, they have some solid metrics, and beating Kansas, not a lot of teams do that, a little more so this year, obviously, but argument can be made. I still would put in a mid-major because I think the Pac-12 is legendarily horrible this year.
All right. Well, Rocco, beyond this, who would be your last team in if this is our field at this point?
I would go with.
Or do you want to go with another mid-major pit team next? That's fine.
No, I've got Wofford as an automatic bid, as well as Washington. So.
Wofford's in, aren't they?
We got those.
I have Wofford where we have them.
Yep.
So if we're calling Wofford and Washington automatic bids, that gives us room for Baylor and Arizona in my book.
Well, we got Baylor in already, so Arizona would be your last team.
Yes, it would be Arizona.
All right. Well, that would conclude our
– although tonight could screw that up.
Our at-large bids, although I wouldn't – yeah, I would note that Arizona right now being down 22 with 4 minutes left. I'm taking Arizona right back out, Rocco.
VCU.
I'm going to put Arizona down here at number 10 on the under consideration board, given what they're doing.
I don't want your pity.
VCU's an auto bid. Remember, Rocco, they'd be the first team.
But
which I would agree with.
I've got St. Louis as the auto bid, but if you guys want to do VCU, that's fine.
Okay, well, let's put VCU in, which still leaves us with a spot. So, Tytel, let me go to you for who would be your next team up. And again, if it's Lipscomb, then we're going to have to get one more team beyond that. But who would be your next team up here?
I really think the committee might bend over backwards to get Murray State in just so we can see Ja Morant. But if not, like, Lipscomb has a very solid resume. Go for it.
All right. Yeah. We'll go Lipscomb. And for the second week in the row, Tytel has gone with a mid-major over a major. I got to go back to you. Who's the last team?
I'll dap up my Big East brethren, Butler.
Butler.
Oh, okay. No.
Right. DePaul.
What about
Chad? Since we're saying VCU's auto bid, my last team is actually UNC Greensboro.
Okay, so you would take a second SoCon team over Butler. Let's do that debate. That would be a real interesting one here.
Let's debate another team because I think we need to look at Temple.
David, can we?
I agree, David.
Can we look at this debate first, and then we'll look at Temple? Tytel, is there any chance we can get a second SoCon team like a UNC Greensboro with nothing bad on the profile?
I'm leaning no. I remember a month ago when I thought Furman might be a one loss team, and boy was I wrong. Can you imagine if like Butler's strongest argument is that they sweep DePaul.
Hey, we just put in two teams that make it swept by DePaul.
So.
David, I can give you your argument here. Butler versus Temple.
Butler's done almost nothing. I don't think beating Florida on a neutral floor is good enough. Florida's not in the field, nor were they proposed. And if we were to expand it to 96, Florida may still not be there. Temple's at least done something. They had the win over Houston. They had the win over Houston.
And their only bad loss was
to right there in quadrant one. They have the win over Houston.
David, their only bad loss was to the Big Five champions, so that's not that bad, right?
Right.
And Villanova, who we had as a protected seed, had the identical loss.
Moments like this you realize that the tournament probably shouldn't be 68 teams, but I don't like Butler. I don't particularly like Temple, but I don't dislike them quite as much. Another team that I kind of looked at, they have some good wins, Pittsburgh, but I cannot stomach a team that has zero true road wins.
Okay. Well, let me run through each of you now. I think we have our top 12. I'll tell you what I'll do is I'm going to go ahead and throw in Murray State as the OVC winner. I know that they are either lost or
they're still in first place, even with the loss.
They are still in first place, so I'll throw them in there on the 12 line. And go ahead and quickly reveal here the 13 through 16 lines, which begin, I believe, with Yale and Hofstra and go all the way down to Norfolk State and Prairie View at the bottom. But on that note, let me go through each of you and for any other teams that you think are close here that we did not put in. And Joby, let me
Chad, can you just verify that if people would like to see some discussion on these teams, we're not just blowing through them. We have Under the Radar. You can go watch it.
Yeah, we recorded it last night, so go down on the podcast. You could actually hear a lot more about those bottom teams there. But Joby, anybody that we have not discussed that you think is either right there, maybe you should be in.
We really don't, but I'm going to, because I've been on their bandwagon, they had the loss that they really couldn't afford this week. But let's say St. Louis runs the table from here on out.
Right.
St. Louis still has, you know, a reasonable profile, but I agree that they are not in the field as we speak, but I'm not going to give up the ship yet on their chances. So,
Rocco, as you get ready for overtime,
probably not be ready for overtime. Actually,
Might not be. Okay, there was a foul there, but Rocco, anybody else that you would put on the board here?
I mean, they probably don't deserve to be in based on everything that happened during the non-league. But I think a team that I guess should be mentioned for being 5-1 in the league, amazingly, with a lot of good wins, is South Carolina.
Yeah,
that's true.
They're working their way up my list.
And they have I don't think
they're quite there yet. Yeah. But
believe it or not, they just had one really horrific loss. And of all the bad losses, we're talking to Mexico and stuff, Wyoming is beyond just – I mean, it's like not just 300, it's like 330. I mean, it's like awful of awful. But if you put Wyoming –
we're talking a triple-digit net rating. Come on.
They probably would be in the field right now.
Hey, at least it was on the road.
anybody else that you would have under consideration at the moment?
Not really. I think we're really getting scraping the bottom of the barrel. If St. Mary's can somehow upset Gonzaga, I would definitely have them under consideration. But as of today, I don't think they're there yet.
And I think we should also briefly mention San Francisco also. If we're
going to I was about to mention them. I'm probably still more interested in USF than I would be St. Mary's.
All right. And David, anybody else?
I was going to say Frisco, but you got him in there. That's a lot of teams to be – that's a whole lot of bad to be considering.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, what I really would like to do is knock about 7 or 8 of those last at-large bids out for this field. I think would be a lot better. But there are 68, and we have to get there somehow. So on that note, let me go ahead and pull this down here. I just want to note to everybody, if you look down below us on the podcast, you can see the final bracket of what we put together. But I want to run through each of you for any other final thoughts on the evening. And Joby, let me start off with you.
Just real quick, notice that we had the American have the final two of the final spots of play-in game types with UCF and Temple, and Cincinnati not that far off. Once again, I mentioned this before in a prior podcast, Houston might be the bootstrap for the entire conference in a lot of ways, because Temple, why do we have Temple in? Because Houston's a protected seed and they beat him. If Houston starts losing to the East Carolinas of the world or et cetera, or even the middle of the conference, South Florida, all of a sudden that takes a shine off Houston, which would then take a shine off Temple, which then would take a shine off Cincinnati or UCF that beat Temple. Houston, it sounds crazy, but if you're an American bubble team, you want Houston to go perfect, except against your team, because the conference itself has a lot of reliance on it in the bootstrap theory.
Good point. Matt.
I'm glad that Joby made that point. I'm going to make one very similar about the Big East, to where right now you look at the standings, you got Villanova 6-0, Marquette 6-1. If you see something like that where, like, both of them are 15-3, 16-2, you might see some crying for teams 3 on down, to where I remember the first year in this incarnation, you had Nova 2-seed, Crane 3-seed, and now Marquette and Nova are creeping in that range. And after that, it took Providence having to win the Big East Conference tournament to get in, and Xavier in a play-in game. Well, you might see that a situation like that this year, where you might only have 3 teams in come conference tournament time. And I do think the Big East tournament's going to be wide open, and I can see almost winning it. Save, of course, the teams having to play the first day in the 7, 10, 8, 9 games, 4 and 4 days might be a little tough, but it's going to be a wide open conference tournament. But yeah. Looking at it now, you have 2 teams very comfortably in fighting for protected seeds, and then after that, we had Hall and Johnny's at 9 and 10 seeds, and that might even be generous, and Butler not in the field. So this is for the Big East, you have to start knocking off Nova and Marquette here if you want more than 2 teams solidly in.
Just watch out for that rising DePaul team. That's all I gotta say. Rocco, let me head over to you.
Yeah, I think I just want to call out that with the recent slides of teams like Indiana, Nebraska, and Ohio State out of the Big Ten, and even to a degree Minnesota, You know, we were anticipating this earlier this year that 10 Big Ten teams would probably not be able to survive the test of a 20-game conference schedule. And that's starting to materialize a little bit. However, those teams themselves will have the opportunity still to make up for some of these cold streaks they're on. Very curious to see where the Big Ten lands. I guess right now you would be probably fair to assume 8 or 9 or maybe as low as 7. But if and when that does occur, 1 to 2 to 3 bids all of a sudden open up, and that you know that could very well come from Matt's Big East or from perhaps another American Conference team, or God forbid, God willing, WCC team for those of us on the West. So it'd be really fun to see how this plays out. Enjoying the bubble watch, because I think it's a little bit different with this 20-game Big Ten and just all the dynamics around those bids being accounted for today.
All right, Tatel.
So as a fan of the sport, today is one of my favorite days of the year. They announced the McDonald's All-American rosters, and I was very happy that Arizona has two of them this year, Nico Mannion and Josh Green. The reason I want to mention Green is because he plays for IMG Academy. Not sure how many of our viewers are aware of this team. They're amazing, 23-1, whatever. They have 3 McDonald's All-Americans on their roster. Green, who's 6'6", Jeremiah Robinson Earl, who's 6'9", and Armando Bacot Jr., who's 6'10". I don't know the record from a team with the most McDonald's All-Americans on its roster at once, but Green has to be in the running. I don't know, like, how their game will translate to college, but if they had to play the MEAC right now, like, I really think they could go 500 in the MEAC.
All right. Well, David, let me finish things out.
Real quick, John Stalica, shout out to him. He's been really busy lately. He hasn't been able to be with us as much as he would like and as much as we would like this year, but I'm sure he's watching. He watches everything and categorizes everything, but we do miss you. And the other thing, it's interesting, some of the debates that we're having now, it's fun. We get on here, we throw each other around. I get buzzed when I shouldn't, but that's fine too. A lot of this is going to sort itself out. I don't think – I think we're overvaluing like teams like Indiana and Mississippi State, but the reason I think we're overvaluing them, in the case of Mississippi State and Auburn and the like, they don't have any big wins. Well, they're either going to get them or they won't, and if they don't, they're going to fall down. Pretty much our committee will look at it the way I do, and if they start winning, then I'm going to agree, yeah, they belong up there. So a lot of these discrepancies kind of get ironed out, because by the end – it's not – well, no, we still argue pretty heavily all the way through, but we pretty much land pretty close to the same at the end, don't we?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more variance between us now than there will be at the end of the day, just because having the
full – we look at it different.
Having the full profile there. Because I think, for example, David, that a lot of us are going to come around on Gonzaga being a one seed at some point here if they keep winning. I'm just not there yet. Mm-hmm. But on that note, on behalf of, let's see, we got Matt Zukowski, we got Rocco Miller, make sure to check him out at bracketeer.org, we got John Tytel, maybe I'm looking the wrong directions, we got Joby Fortson, we got David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.